Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend, an opportunity to both enjoy the warm weather, enjoy the grace of the summer, the blessing of the summer, but also time to really gather with your family and friends at the table of the Lord at the celebration of the Eucharist. I've been thinking, friends, more than ever, just really quite often, it's coming to my mind, the power of the Eucharist and how important it is in our life. I mean, we know it's the source and summit of the faith, as the Council talked about it. It's the real presence of the real King of the universe who laid down his life for us, made present miraculously on that altar. He feeds us, he strengthens us. But the Eucharist is all those things and so much more. And it's like an open heaven. You know, it's a connection between heaven and earth that's so profound, so amazing. But it's such a defining, identity-informing reality. You know, we read the kind of grim statistics of how many Catholics are both leaving the church, but also how many Catholics, self-identified Catholics, no longer believe in the real presence. Very disturbing. And because it's the most precious gift, short of the Holy Spirit himself, that we're given, becoming temples of the Holy Spirit, it is the most precious of all the wonderful, amazing gifts that the Lord has given to us, and the Holy Spirit has made present in our life in the church. And it's meant to really be the defining, identity-forming, communion-building, strengthening gift and sacrament that the Lord himself has given to us. By this great miracle, his death and resurrection is made present to us. Jesus doesn't die over and over and over again. He died once for all. But that act of love by which we have been saved, his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, is made present to us. It's made present to us to both remind, it's not simply a reminder, it is that of what he's done. And we remember and we bend our knee and we're in awe of what he's done for us. And we celebrate and we rejoice and we give thanks. Eucharist means thanksgiving, giving thanks, right? To the Father for what has been accomplished in Jesus, his Son, for the sake of our salvation. We stand in awe of God's love and the love that's revealed there. But it's also for us a place in which we really, truly receive grace for forgiveness of our sins. We really, truly feed on the body and blood of Jesus, because he said it would be real food, it would be real drink, spiritual food for the spiritual journey, for the spiritual battle that we're living in and we're engaged in. And it defines us so much as a people. It's when we hear the word of God preached, which, you know, the Catechism talks about the bread of life is both word and sacrament. It's Jesus preaching. It's the word of God that's being proclaimed. And it's the Eucharist, the body and blood of Jesus that's lifted up. And in it, what we see, and what I personally have been drawing lots of life from, is the understanding of what Jesus is revealing to us, what he's giving to us, and what he's revealing to us. We are living at a time of tremendous upheaval, tremendous spiritual conflict, tremendous confusion, lots of troubled souls, a real deep battle that's going on. And one of the battles is over identity. What is it to mean to be human? What's a good life? You name it. You've heard it many times. But what we have in the Eucharist is the King, Jesus, giving to us unequivocally a statement, a direction, a revelation, a teaching again and again and again to define for us the new Adam. Where Adam failed to stand, Jesus is the victor. What we inherited from Adam, our forefather, Jesus gives us a whole new orientation to reality. Jesus defines what it means to be what we were really created for. He defines, he's lifted up. It says when he's lifted up, he'll draw all to himself. He's lifting us up into the reality that he himself is and that he himself has created, what he has made, the defining, unequivocal, total revelation of the Father's plan and what it means, friends, to be human. and what it means to live a fulfilled life. I mean, it sounds almost trivial to say it that way, but it's a question that's on everybody's mind, and people are making tons of money, you know, trying to help people find the pathway to personal fulfillment or some way of finding an identity that works for them. And people are scrambling. The further we get away from Christ as a culture and the detachment from that being lifted up before us, Jesus being lifted up before us, he's being lifted up and he's lifted up again. The cross is made present, but the victory of Jesus is made present and the complete and total vindication of Jesus and who he is and what he said about reality, what he said about us and the amazing future that has been set before us and the kind of creatures that we are. Amazing, created by God in his image and likeness, and how we've fallen and who our enemies are, and his absolute defeat of all the enemies that are set against us and what he's offering to us. He's lifting us up into the life of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with that amazing sacrifice. The blood of Jesus cleanses us and makes it possible for us to be able to enter into the life of God. And here we are celebrating it, participating in it, as a communion, and as he lifted up, he's drawing us together. You know, there's a time I just saw, it might have been Bishop Barron, I just saw a YouTube headline that said, you know, come back to church. There's people coming back, but there's lots of people not coming back to church anymore. And this is just my personal conviction. Part of why the Lord has permitted us to go through what we're going through, he's allowed it to happen. And he's allowed it to happen, and part of it is, I believe that he is really testing people, testing their faith. And he's cutting off, I think of the John 15, the vine and the branches. And it said, the Father is the vine dresser. That's kind of how it begins. Of course, Jesus is the vine. He said, you're the branches. If you're living from me, you will have life. He said, abide in me. That means dwell with me, love me, talk with me, live with me. Follow my promises, all that. But the Father tends that vineyard. And it also says that he cuts off dead wood and throws it into the fire. He's cutting off dead wood right now. The church is maybe one of the images that's most apt is the Laodicean. You know, the church in Laodicea that was very lukewarm, not hot or cold and different and very, very worldly in many ways. And the radical gift of life in Christ and radical call to discipleship wasn't being lived out in the community there. And so we have that kind of Laodicean, lukewarm, accommodating, compromising church in many ways. Many baptized people live no differently than the culture at large and are lining up behind whatever the culture is saying, tend to be saluting. And so what the Father's doing, I believe, is he's allowing, you got to pay a price to come to the church now. It's the habits are broken, the easy kind of cruise control that we're on or the status quo approach that we're on has been broken now because of COVID. And there's a moment of decision. What is it that people really want? What is it that people really believe? What does this actually mean to me? And all kinds of people are saying, well, hey, you know, I haven't gone for a long time and it doesn't seem to make much difference in my life. For one reason or another, I'm not going back. This may sound strange, but if that's really where they are, that's important that it happen. Because the Eucharist is the communion of disciples. It's a family meal of those who are gathered around Christ, weak, broken people, no question. But what's being revealed is to say, if people say, well, I can basically live without it, that's an unconverted mind. That's an unconverted heart. That's someone who has not yet become a disciple of Christ in any genuine, meaningful way. Disciples don't walk away from the Eucharist. They don't walk away from this, the source and summit of our faith. But if you're living, supposedly, if you're calling yourself a Catholic and sort of habitually, you know, a few times a year going to church, you're not sure why you're hanging out, but you're not really following the Lord. Jesus said, if your salt goes flat, your light goes dim, you're no good to me. You know, it's better that you be hot or cold. And so I think part of what's happening is there's a real test here to say, what is it that you believe? What are you willing to die for? How important is the Eucharist to you? How important ultimately is Christ to you and his church? That's part of the battle that's going on, that's being unfolding and that we're living through. But the Eucharist is the place that we most need to gather as God's people. We need to gather in a lot of different forms, in small groups and communities and Bible studies and service projects and missions and caring for each other, all kinds of ways. But the most important place is on the Lord's Day to gather with the Lord and humbly bow before him and bend our knee and to receive this gift that's been given to us. We, you know, earthen vessels, this great treasure that we have, we've been given in earthen vessels. The Lord knows we're weak. We have clay feet. We're weak and broken people, but we know who has saved us and what he's offering to us. And in this time of confusion and discouragement that's present, it's time to come to the table of the Lord together and to be fed by him in order to be strengthened, to be challenged by his word, and to be reminded of who we are and to celebrate it and to join him in his offering to the Father, his offering of love to the Father, his sacrifice, and to listen to him and say, this is who I want to be. Jesus is saying, brothers and sisters, this is the epitome of what it means to be a human being. I'm going to talk later this week of St. Peter saying, you're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. No place is it more clearly expressed than in the Eucharist. We're chosen. We're called by God. He's calling us together, the Father, to come around his Son at the table of the Lord. You're a chosen race of people. Jesus is siring a new humanity, a new race of people in the Spirit. We're born again by water and the Spirit. We become a part of God's new family in Jesus. Weak and broken people. Again, I want to say that, who are sinful and come repentant and understand what we've been given. And we come around him precisely because we know what we need and that we need it together. And he comes to feed us. He comes to lift us. He comes to heal us. He comes to forgive us. He comes to teach us. He comes to strengthen us. And this is the place where you say, who am I? How am I called to live? What am I living for? I'm, you know, St. Paul's line, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's him. I want to be like him. And I know he's giving me his Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, he's making present his own body and blood, and he's feeding me. And I'm with other people who he's calling, he's healing, he's forgiving and strengthening. I want to be just like him. I want to find my identity in the exact same place that he found his identity. And anything that gets in the way of that in my life, I want to get rid of it. And I can do that. I don't have to be afraid of letting it go because I know where I'm going. I see where Jesus is lifted up. I see he's been raised to glory at the right hand of the Father. And the new creation is already begun in him, and I'm a part of that, and he's doing something in me. What he's doing in me and in us is more important than anything else that's out there. And learning how to value what's truly valuable is a key thing that enables us to be able to make the right decisions about how to use our time, our talent, our treasure. I want to look at that kind of theme this week and look at St. Paul, what he has to say about it, what St. Peter has to say about it, because, boy, their clarity and their vision of who Jesus is and what it means to follow him is so beautiful and so profound. We're going to dig into it. I hope you can join me throughout this week because that's exactly what each one of us is called to. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.